Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
We left Boulogne yesterday evening in a temperature of over 30 degrees. And we land at Gatwick in 11 degrees. What happened on the way? And coming here this morning, it was 9 degrees. So, come on, I'm emigrating. Did you say hallelujah? You might emigrate before I do. Hallelujah. We had a simply tremendous weekend with our relating churches in Italy. It was absolutely amazing. They all want the truth now translated into Italian, so that's another thing I shall have to bend my mind to. I'll have to learn Italian first, but right, our God is a God of abundance.
Amen.
Now we know that. But what the Lord was impressing upon me earlier this morning is we don't all believe it. We know it, but we don't believe it. Because if we believe it, then all the time we expect abundance.
Come on. That's right. Absolutely.
Good. We know He's capable of abundance. We know He's promised abundance. We know we have been under a spiritual attack in Kingdom Faith to prevent abundance. But that attack is over, and now God is releasing His abundance.
Amen, amen, amen.
Yes.
Praise God. I thank Him. I've come back with a gift from Italy, which for Kingdom Faith, which demonstrates God's abundance. The greatest gift we've ever had from a single weekend of ministry. And I believe that's in fulfillment of what the Lord has been saying. After Leviathan, Job had double the prosperity he had before. And after the Lord with His sharp sword slew the serpent in Isaiah 27, He said, sing over a fruitful vineyard. And that's not just about money. We should expect God's abundance in everything.
Absolutely.
And we expect God's abundance in Love Horsham.
Amen.
Yes.
Abundant fruit.
Yes.
That will transcend anything that we have known in the past. Amen. Ephesians. Now I'm going to look around and see who's got the truth.
Yeah.
Oh, there are a few anointed people, others. The truth isn't in that silly little thing you've got there. I mean, get yourself a Bible, man. Now. I'm reading from Ephesians 1. Verse 7, in Christ we have been redeemed. With His own blood He has made it possible for all our sins to be forgiven, and so has purchased us with the price of His blood, so that now we belong to Him. All this is the result of the immense riches of God's grace that He has lavished on us. Say, the immense riches of God's grace.
The immense riches of God's grace.
That He has lavished on us.
That He has lavished on us.
Not that He will, or that He needs to, or that we pray that He should. He has lavished that grace upon us. So what He wants us to do is to be living in the revelation of that lavish grace. And grace is what God gives to all those who deserve nothing. So every one of us qualifies for grace because we all know that we deserve nothing. Hallelujah. Now, obviously there's been a focus on the truth. There's always a focus on the truth here because here we preach the word. We preach the truth and we're utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. And remember that Jesus said, I am the truth. If we turn to John 14:6, Jesus replied, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. I've actually translated what it says in the Greek because there's that double emphasis on the I am, as you all learned in your John lectures. Nobody can come to the Father in heaven except through faith in me. To know me personally is to know my Father as well. So from this time, you can say that you know both him and have seen him. Lord, show us the Father and we shall be satisfied, Philip said. Jesus answered, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and still you do not know me. To see me is to see the Father. So why ask me to show you the Father? Simply believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Even the words I speak to you are not my own. The Father who lives in me is working through me. So believe me when I tell you that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The miracles are the very evidence that what I say is true. I tell you the truth, anyone who puts his faith in me will do the same things that I have been doing. He will be able to do even greater things than these because of what will happen when I return to be with the Father. And I give you this promise. I will give you whatever you ask in my name, and in this way the Son will bring further glory to the Father. Yes, you can ask me for anything in my name that is in my will, and I will surely do it. Now, again, these are very familiar words, even if the translation isn't familiar. But it's the truth of what Jesus is saying that we need to get hold of. Because these three things he puts together, the way, the truth, and the life. Because he is the truth, he is also the way. Now, over the weekend, God gave me a very simple illustration because I was really talking about what appeared at first to be two distinctive things, but God brought them together in a wonderful way. The first is really the great revelation, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so we talked in the first part of the conference about our dependence upon Jesus and what it means to depend upon the Lord who lives within us. Now, we know that, but of course, knowing it isn't the same as actually doing it. So in whatever you're going to go and do today, you will need to depend upon the Christ who is within you. But the church there has also been under Leviathan attack, because this is something that has come against kingdom faith, not just here locally. And they are gaining the victory. We had a really, really victorious time in that regard over the weekend. So we needed to talk about in what ways the enemy seeks to undermine our dependence on Jesus. And I mean, you could go through a whole list of things, a whole series of different ways, but there are three principal ways which are obvious. He first of all appeals to our flesh, to that self-life, because he's the king of pride. So he appeals to reason, he appeals to self-dependence rather than Christ-dependence. He stirs up the desires of the flesh by offering us what the world offers us. So the whole of the advertising world is actually geared at people's flesh life, trying to get you to please yourself, to satisfy yourself, to fulfill whatever desires. It will even create the desires. One of the most obvious things is, you know, here's this nice shiny new car that they want to sell you. So they drape an almost naked woman over it What's that got to do? What's she got to do with a car? Well, simply, if you desire the woman, you desire the car. It's very, very simple manipulation of people's flesh life. It's just igniting that sense of desire. And that's what the enemy does. Through the world, through what the world offers, wants to stimulate your self-desire. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. And then, of course, there's the more direct intervention of the enemy through deception, through manipulation by negative spirits. And we know only too well that even Christians, nice, lovely Christians, can come under attack, can be deceived, can come under attack from all kinds of demonic forces. So we have to learn to stand against these things. So we've got these two things, you see, the dependence upon Jesus and this overcoming of the enemy by the exercise of spiritual authority. Now, what Jesus is explaining in that short passage I just read from John's Gospel is how he himself operated. You see, Jesus lived by dependence upon the Father and overcoming the enemy. If you look at his ministry, we know that everything he did and said came out of dependence on the Father. I speak only what my Father gives me to speak. I do only what I see him doing. I haven't come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I'm forever quoting those things just about every week. But that's how he lived, in dependence on the Father. But then you see him in ministry, and what is he doing? He is actually exercising authority over the enemy. So when it comes to the healing of people, it's through the exercise of his authority. Get up and walk. Be opened. Your faith has made you well. They are statements of authority. And when he is overcoming the enemy directly, go, and 2,000 demons leave a man and go into a herd of pigs. It's all authority when it comes to taking the life of the kingdom and actually expressing that life in the world, in the face of the flesh, the world, and the devil. So what you see is this way, because obviously if we are to follow in the way, and remember that was the first way in which Christians were described in the Acts of the Apostles, followers of the way. It was perceived right from the very beginning of the church that these people followed a different way from everybody else. And that's because Jesus is the way. Because they were believing the truth, therefore they walked a different way. Now, what do you see that way? For Jesus, it was this: dependence on the Father, exercising his authority as Lord. Dependence on the Father, exercising his authority as Lord. Dependence on the Father, exercising his authority as Lord. That was the walk. Now, if we are to follow in the way, then we are going to have a similar walk. But for us, it's dependence upon Jesus, because if we depend upon Jesus, we depend upon the Father. He's just made that clear. So dependence upon Jesus, exercise our authority over all the power of the enemy. Depend upon Jesus, exercise our authority. Depend upon Jesus, exercise our authority. Now, you see, if all we do is the first, the depend upon Jesus, what are we doing? We're hopping. We're hopping. Now, if we get things right way out of balance, like some Christians do, and all we do is just confront the enemy and talk about the enemy and not dependence upon Jesus, then they're hopping on the other leg. But Jesus is not the hop, the truth, and the life. And John does not say in his second and third letters that it gives me great joy to see some of my children hopping in the truth. No, it's walking in the truth, walking in the way. So what is it going to be for us? Dependence upon Jesus, exercise our authority. Dependence upon Jesus, exercise our authority. Dependence upon Jesus, exercise our authority. Now, if we do this, you see, we are actually acting in his name. This is what it is to act in his name. So as you go out to Love Horsham today, you are going to do these two things: depend upon Jesus and exercise your authority whenever that is necessary. Now, Jesus is the Lord of abundance.
Amen.
That's not just a nice faith statement to make us all feel good. It's actually the truth. Because he said, I have come that men may have life and have it abundantly. Have it in all its fullness. It means abundance. I have come that people will have my life abundantly. Now, if he gives authority over all the power of the evil one, he has given us abundant authority. If he has made all grace abound to us, he has given us abundant grace. If Jesus loves us with the same love with which the Father loved him, then he loves us with abundant love. What do I have to do to get you all to smile? I mean, this is good news. Amen. Everything is abundance. Now, you see, the devil turns the telescope backwards. You see, if you look through a telescope or binoculars, what happens? If you look through them the right way, everything becomes magnified. Amen? Everything becomes magnified. From where you are now, you look ahead and you see more, something bigger, something more expansive, because you're looking into the abundance of God. You're looking at life through the promises that he gives in his word.
That's good. That's good.
What the devil wants to do is to get you to look through the binoculars or the telescope the wrong way around so that everything seems further away, microscopic. He wants to reduce what you believe about the possibilities of what God will do in your life and through your life. So instead of seeing, well, today is a day of greater blessing, of greater anointing, of greater provision, of greater abundance than I have known, you go with a sort of certain fear and trepidation that things are not going to go so well. Things are not going to be abundant. He gets us to look at ourselves and to demean ourselves. Now, we know in and of ourselves we are nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But the truth is that we're not apart from him. We're living in him, and he is living in us. Therefore, we can live in dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he hasn't given us a little bit of authority. He has given to every believer authority over all the power of the evil one. He doesn't say we have authority over the devil himself, but all the devil's powers, all the ways in which he can work. Amen. You know, you often hear Christians saying, I bind you, Satan. Well, if we could bind Satan, there's, I don't know how many millions of people will say that today around the world. He sure would be bound. Given that power to prevent Satan from doing what he's doing. Jesus will do that at the appointed time. He will come and lock him up and that's it. He will go down to the abyss and finish with him. But that's what God would do. Until then, he is given leave to go to and fro over the earth and whatnot. But we have authority over those spirits, over those powers and so on that he uses against us, against others. And of course, that we see so abundantly, evidently, in the world. I mean, there's all this business about corruption in Parliament. And I think to myself, well, in the European Parliament, it's about 10 times worse.
That's it. Absolutely.
There was a thing on the radio the other day. I forget how many years it is, but something ridiculous, like the last 17 years, the accountants haven't signed off the European accounts.
That's right.
Because they reckon there's somewhere between 70 and 80% corruption. They can't actually account for most of the money.
That's it.
And I mean, you see, this is the political world. That it's a gravy train, you know. You've got all these politicians saying, we've kept the rules. Well, what kind of rules are they if they can get away with what they're doing? And who made the rules?
That's true.
I mean, they make the rules and they milk them. I mean, but you see, this is the world, isn't it? This is the spiritual. This is the spirit of deception and so on. So we stand apart from all of that. Not in judgment and condemnation of people, because our fight is not against flesh and blood. But you just see how these other powers of darkness are operating in the world all around us. So we shouldn't be too surprised, really. Say, well, that's the world, isn't it? That's how the enemy works when people are actually under the influence of Jesus. Praise God. We've got something better than a gravy train. We've actually got God's abundance. But you see, the great thing about the Lord's provision is this. But when you're on a gravy train, you are manipulating the system for your own welfare in whatever way is possible. So, you know, we've got all these politicians saying, well, we haven't done anything illegal because we can do this under the rules that we set up. But you see, with the Lord, when you trust in the Lord, then the Lord is going to bless and the Lord is going to provide for what the Lord wants. And the about faith, I mean, we've lived by faith ever since this ministry began. And the wonderful thing about faith is that it comes not as a manipulation of a system, but out of the goodness and the righteousness of God. And this is the wonderful thing, that in your own personal life, suddenly God gifts something to you. And you say, wow, Lord, this is just so great, so wonderful, so unexpected. I didn't know you were going to do this. And I don't know about you, but my life is full of things like that. God is constantly doing it, constantly. Just blessing in ways that you never expect to be blessed. But then he's doing it for the work, you see, all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. I mean, our cash flow is somewhere between 2.5 and 3 million pounds a year. Mm-hmm. That's quite a lot of money. You know, and sometimes you hear that we need this and we need that and we need the other. But you see, actually the Lord is providing an immense amount all the time.
That's it.
I mean, you know, if you end a year sort of, as we have sometimes done, sort of 50,000 short, you've got to put that in perspective of 2.5 million that has come in.
That's it.
And always, if there's a shortage, it's because there's a shortage of faith somewhere in the system, somewhere along the line. So, you know, God now, we're prospering more and more and more in fulfillment of his promises and of his word. And that prosperity needs to continue to increase. So God is saying, well, look, I have actually, you know, you can focus on the need, but when you focus on the need, you lose sight of the abundance.
That's it.
And what the Lord is saying is, don't focus on the need, focus on the abundance, focus on the truth, focus on who I am, focus on the way in which you're walking. Because you see, dependence upon Jesus is abundance. Exercising your authority over the enemy is actually seeing the abundance of God's power going forth to meet the needs, not just of ourselves, but of other people. It's keeping everything in perspective. It's keeping your focus where it needs to be. It's keeping the binoculars the right way around. So everything is getting bigger. Everything, you know, it's as if that which is a promise for the future has come closer. because faith is rising up within you. And you say, yeah, this isn't a promise for the distant future. This is a promise for now. Yes. We can enter now. That which God is saying is not just our hope that one day we shall see fulfilled, but it's for now.
Right. Yes. It's good.
Yeah. Right.
Hallelujah. I'm happy. Anybody else happy?
Yes.
And you see, it's the same, because you mustn't hop
right.
as you love Horsham. You've got to walk.
Right.
And so it's the same with the exercising of authority.
Yeah.
Now we have to learn how to be sensitive in doing that and all the rest of it. But the point is, these things come out of a mindset. You see, there are so many Christians that talk about what the devil is doing to them instead of them talking about what they're doing to the devil and his works. I mean, that's where our emphasis should be. This is what we're doing to the enemy. This is where we are overcoming. This is where we're seeing victory. This is where we're seeing fruit. This is where we're seeing lives changed. This is where we're seeing people taken out of the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. It's just a matter of perception, of your mindset. So the enemy, you see, always wants people to look at things with reason. Now you've got to be careful, and there isn't this, and you don't have that, and you can't do this. And, you know, God is saying, I want you to do this, and then the enemy comes along and tries to convince you of all the reasons why you can't.
Right. That's it. Absolutely.
But if God commands you to do something, then he provides all the grace, abundant grace, to enable you to do it.
Right.
There is never a shortfall between God's command and the grace he supplies to fulfill it. So we're living in God's abundance. Not just because it's Love Horsham Week. Every week. Every day. Wherever we are, whatever we're called to do, it is always abundance. It's good that glass got smashed. Do you remember I gave you an illustration two or three weeks ago about, you know, when this pride gets hold of people so that they, you know, the enemy can manipulate them, you can either slowly put more and more pressure on the glass till it cracks and then it breaks. That's a very painful way of God dealing with you, isn't it? Or you can just take the glass and that's much the best way. And what happens in the process is you get broken. You get broken of the pride, you get broken of the self-righteousness and self-dependence and everything else of self. Because Jesus says, if anyone come after me, let him deny himself. It's getting broken of that self-dependence. And with it, the fears and the doubts and the sense of inadequacy that goes with it. Because God's grace is so much greater than all that stuff. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's all stand because we're in speedy mode this morning as you've all got to get out and do your business. Praise God. Come on, let's lift our hands and thank the Lord for his abundance.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah! Now thank the Lord that abundance is yours today. But as you trust in the Lord, you're trusting in his abundance.
that the life within you is abundant life. Hallelujah. God is not a stingy God. He doesn't give you just enough for what you need to get through the day. His abundant life is available to you today. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. More than enough. More than enough. Much more than enough. He lavishes his grace upon you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory! Now thank him that he's given you authority over all the powers of the evil one. Thank you, Jesus! Now, in the different situations into which you go this week, you can bind the power of the evil one that have been operating in those situations so that there is a ready response to what you are doing, to what you carry of the life of Jesus. You see, Jesus demonstrated in his ministry, you can't exercise the life without also exercising the authority. He did both. And we're submitted to his authority. He is our Lord, so that his authority can be expressed through us. So thank the Lord that it's not your authority. It's not a tiny little bit of authority that you have as a believer. It's the full authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that can be expressed through you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Purata paraba. So Jesus' attitude towards heaven, towards the Father, was dependence upon him. Jesus' attitude to the world was authority over what the devil is seeking to do in the world. So we thank you, Lord, that we have that dependence, that you have given us faith, that you are the author. And we take our faith binoculars this morning, and we look through them the right way. And we see, Lord, that everything that you had promised us is nearer. It's getting nearer. It's coming more into focus. It's becoming more and more obvious. And we believe you, and we bless you, and we praise you. And we just stand against the devil's attempts to get us to turn the binoculars the wrong way around and to think that your promises are delayed and that they're going to be a long time in being fulfilled. We just stand against all those thoughts that would demean us and put us down and make us feel inadequate and no good. And we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord, that we are living in Christ, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. So we thank you that we take your life wherever we go, today and every day, that as we walk along that way, the life, your life, gets released. Your life gets expressed. Your authority is seen in our lives. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, Lord, we stand against small-mindedness. We refuse to be small-minded. We refuse to be restricted by our reason. We thank you that you have made us a people of faith, not a people of reason. And Lord, we thank you that every promise you have given us is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. that he is the yes and the amen to every promise. And we know that amen means it shall be so. And we give you all the glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just grab hold of somebody and pray with them now.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.